Another week of bread. I think we're on five. I think this is it. So, dear Sheldon, here comes the bread pun of the day. How do you spot a radical baker? They're always going against the grain. Yeah. So, Jesus talking about his flesh and blood is not my favorite gospel story. And as we were preparing for text study this week, a bunch of us preachers were all like, yeah, we don't tell people to go to this part of John's gospel to learn about the story of Jesus. Because if you start right here with Jesus talking about his flesh and his blood, it's a little off-putting. And it's off-putting even to the confirmands as they come through confirmation and First Communion. I inevitably get at First Communion questions, are we zombies? Well, not exactly. But fair point. I mean, what do we make of Jesus saying, you must eat of my flesh and blood? Now, I could spend a whole hour talking to you about the mechanics of communion and how we as Lutherans believe in transubstantiation and how we understand the elements to be both in with and under bread and wine or grape juice, the very presence of Christ. We don't necessarily believe that it actually becomes flesh and blood, but there are Christians who do. But the meaning of communion for us, I think, is the more important part of this story. That central to who we are as a community is still the sharing of this sacred meal. And what happens in that moment to that bread and that wine, to become flesh and blood, I'm going to let God handle. Because God can do amazing things. And so I don't get all tied up in whether it's really flesh and blood or what is going on in that moment. I believe it's one of Jesus' superpowers that he can figure it out. Now, what I think in this particular passage is a statement about what Jesus' flesh does. So bear with me for a minute. Jesus says, unless you eat, which for a Jewish audience would have conjured up the feelings of what is clean and unclean to do, and sorry, cannibalism doesn't make it into the list of things that you're allowed to do. So it would have been shocking to them to hear this Messiah tell them that they must eat of his flesh and his blood. And I think it's shocking to our ears too, unless you've grown up with this story. I remember going a couple years ago to visit the Mormon temple before it was consecrated and thinking how strange all of this was to me as someone outside of the Mormon faith, experiencing all these rituals and traditions and special places. But for me, their story of what was sacred was not something that was attuned to me. And so later in the afternoon, as I was driving home, I reflected and said, well, how odd must it be if you've never heard the story of Christ for me to suddenly say, on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. But here's what Jesus' flesh and blood does. Jesus was given for you. For you, you amazing and wonderful child of God, Jesus' flesh and blood was given for you, superhero disciples, so that you might abide in his presence, and that his presence might abide in you. So Jesus gives us this food, this nourishment, this life-sustaining gift, so that we might have life in the world. Now, the other amazing thing that Jesus' flesh does is it rises. Bread pun. Not really. Jesus rose from the grave. And Jesus' flesh and blood teach us how to rise up as well. So that as we abide in Christ's very presence, we also abide in that superhero presence to rise up, but also to rise up difficult places of this world. So in the pastor's email this week, I posted a story of Jackie. And Jackie is one of the leaders at the Welcome Church, which is one of our synod's missional communities, so one of the New Start congregations, whose mission is to reach out to those who find themselves facing periods of homelessness in the city. So it's a church without walls. They worship in the park in Philadelphia. And Jackie is one of the leaders of this community, who found herself a few years ago without a home, and hungry, and on the streets of Philadelphia. Jackie came to know Violet Little, who's the pastor of the Welcome Church, and she started to be connected into the feeding ministries that were part of the Welcome Church. She was hungry, and the church fed her. But she was also hungry in another way. She was hungry for Jesus. And so by connecting into the Welcome Church and becoming part of this worshiping community, she began to be empowered. So she started in a schooling program and got her certificate degree. This year, Jackie is leading a new initiative that has been birthed out of the Welcome Church called Sanctuary Village. Thankfully, Jackie has found sustainable housing, and she, being fed by Jesus, is now leading the charge to create affordable housing in the city of Philadelphia. So Sanctuary Village is a tiny home community that we've been fighting L&I for, which anybody who lives in Philadelphia knows how difficult that is, to see the value in creating a community for people so that they might have a place to abide. Jesus raises up and gives us superhero powers to make a difference in the world. And so I give thanks for the risen presence that was so much a part of Jackie's life that led her to lead this, and she is. She's leading the charge to create this community, to do the fundraising that we need, to collect the funds, to build the houses, to create the community. But I have to believe that it was Jesus' very flesh and blood abiding in her that led her to that mission and that ministry so that others might have life. And Jackie's not the only instance of this. I've had this very real experience with raising up communities by feeding ministries. When I was a senior in seminary, I worked with St. Michael's Lutheran Church in Mount Airy, who had a community meal every Saturday. And you know, it wasn't the hot dogs that we served every Saturday over the summer that made a difference. It was the community and the relationships, the real interaction of people to people that made a difference in that world and in that community. Because that's what Jesus teaches us about rising up, about how to gather a community of believers around the amazing risen presence of Christ, to share in God's abundance in a world that's full of scarcity and fear. Because Jesus' risen presence teaches us about inviting others to the table, about including those on the margins of our society in the abundance of God's never-ending grace. That's our superpower. And God will continue to bless it through the power of the Holy Spirit time and time again. Because what God ordains, the world cannot squash or put down. So, it's weird to think about flesh and blood doing these things, but your flesh and blood, through the power of the Holy Spirit, are doing these things. Amen.